Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
What a good combo of noises. So of all the things I love about Shepherd's, and they're innumerable, I love so many things about being the pastor here, is that as your pastor, I get to be so very real with all of you. Today, I actually want to share my testimony. For those of you who grew up in the church, testimony might be a bit of a triggering word. Testimony was sometimes used as a chance for you to public speak for the first time. Get on up there, 9-year-old, and tell us about how Jesus saved your soul. But for me, the story of my testimony is actually how I left the faith altogether, how I walked away from my faith and I stopped believing, and how I came back. And I'm really glad that I get to share who I am. I've been in ministry my whole career. When I graduated college, I started doing ministry, and I've been doing it since then. And obviously, you can tell by the way I look, that's only been like 2 or 3 years. Why are you laughing? But in that time, I've served different congregations, and different congregations let their pastors and their ministry staff live sort of differently. I've served churches where I kind of had to put on a performance every time I was in front of church people. I would separate my friendships, my relationships between church friends and real friends. I couldn't be my whole self. I couldn't share, you know, my burdens, the things that I was struggling with. Definitely couldn't share my doubts. And friends, that's just not so here. I'm able to tell you about who I am as a person, my whole self, and I'm so grateful, and I never forget how lucky I am as a pastor that I get to do exactly that. That is a choice that you all make every single week, every single day, when you choose to see not just me, but the rest of the staff here in this community as human beings, as siblings first, and then your pastors or your music directors, youth, children's directors secondly, and I'm so grateful. But today I want to share my testimony and a lot about the connection between grief and doubt. By the end, I hope we are all prepared for when grief comes, more comfortable with doubt, and above all, convinced that there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. There is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. Our passage today comes from Romans chapter 8. If you want, you can turn in a paper Bible or a digital Bible to Romans chapter 8. You, of course, can also follow along on the screen. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where the reader will say, "This is the word of God for us, the people of God." Then all of you will say, "Thanks be to God." But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end, and we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It said nakedness. That's kind of funny. As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced. If you've got a paper Bible or a digital Bible, if there's a way for you to highlight that word convinced, I want you to do that. Everyone say convinced. Convinced. Very good. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So this passage shows us that there is nothing created or uncreated that we need to fear. In everything that we have around us, in everything that we see, there is nothing that we need to fear. Friends, that is hard for me to believe because there are plenty of things that I am afraid of. I'm afraid of heights. If I think about heights too much, I start getting scared. If I see a picture of something up high, my feet get sweaty, too much information, but it's the truth. The heart rate spikes. I'm afraid of cockroaches. The other night, my wife was out of the house with some friends, and it was just me and Annabelle at the house. She came, she said, Dad, there's a cockroach in the kitchen. I said, thank you so much for letting me know. And I closed the kitchen door, and then I walked away. She said, what are you gonna do? And I'm like, I just did it. That belongs to the cockroach now. Like, we don't have a kitchen, that's too bad. We can move, but that kitchen belongs to the cockroach. Or when your mother gets home, then we can go back into the kitchen. And I could definitely tell she was looking at me like, you're an adult, what is wrong with you? And I was like, so many things. There's plenty of fears. We can watch the news, we can doom scroll. We can find plenty of reasons to be afraid. And this passage tells us that there's nothing we need to be afraid of. There's nothing that we need to fear. The passage shows us, for however hard we love others, God loves us more, which is hard to understand. Not only is it hard to understand because of how great God loves us, it's also hard to understand because we have nothing but metaphor to understand how great God's love is for us. What I mean by that is that you cannot point to another sort of love that you have and say, oh, that's the love that God has for me. And I think there might be some mothers and fathers in the room that are like, yeah, try me. I definitely love a little person that I helped make more than anything else in the world. Friends, this is crazy. You don't have to believe me. Pray for faith. God loves you even more than the love you have for your own kids. I know. I don't believe it either, but I'm trying, okay? I'm trying to be faithful. That's what this passage tells us. So we got nothing to fear, and there's nothing that can come close to the love that God has for us. This passage shows us that ultimately, no matter what we go through, God is not far away, but rather right with us, that God is near. There is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. I shared already how privileged I feel that I get to be my whole self with you. I get to share who I am, how I love, how I fail, how I'm trying, how I'm failing, all those different things. I get to share that. And I do just want to take this as an opportunity to say, my friends, I promise you at some point I will fail you. I'll let you down. This is the offshoot of being able to be my whole self, is I'm going to say something that you don't like at some point. I'm going to act in such a way that you're going to be curious as to why I'm doing it. And you know, sometimes, friends, I'm just not going to be that great. I just want to tell you, I promise I will let you down. I'm a human being. And friends, the reason why I say that is because I think you deserve to know that I'm aware and that I know. And so when you come to me and you say, I didn't like what you said, I'd like you to say something different. Or I didn't like what you did, I'd like you to do something different. Just know that you're going to be received by someone who's way ahead of you and knows that I'll fail. I promise that I will let you down. And friends, we all get to choose whether or not it's worth it. And I think that it is. Anyways, enough about me. Let's talk about me. So I want to share a little bit of my testimony. And I want to share how I lost my faith. I loved church when I was a kid. That's me and the LeBlancs. I'm the cute one in the middle. My sister's on the end, my mom and my dad. This is what we wore like every Sunday. We wore suits just like Jesus did. We read the King James Version of the Bible just like Jesus did. It was a clip-on tie because whenever dad tied my tie, I'd like brown out. Like he tied it so tight, it was like, I can't believe. And he'd be like, you're fine. That's why I'm so good at French braids on Annabelle's hair, you know. I loved church. Church was my safe place, and people at church loved me. I had a speech impediment when I was a kid. I began every syllable with ba, ba ben I bak, ba bak I bib, and no one could understand me. And I would just go up and be like, ba 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 ba, and people in church would be like, oh, wow, yeah. That's good, Mike. Yeah, that's good. That's bad. Okay, I don't know what you're saying, Mike, but I'm really glad you're here. And they, you know, people were so happy to have me, and it was my safe place. Church was my safe place. I have memories of falling fast asleep during the sermon and waking up for the final song. I have memories of standing on the pew and singing with my family, singing the hymns, "As the Deer Panteth for the Water." I did not grow up in a Methodist church. And sharing these moments with people, asking questions of grown men, of them getting down on my level and answering them to me. I loved church. It was the safest place for me. Grown-ups were reliable at church. I knew what I was getting when a grown-up talked to me. I knew how they would look at me, how they would feel about me. Here was the big thing. My sisters would let me go to youth group with them. And when I went to youth group with them, they were fiercely protective of me, and they were excited to have me around, you know? And that's a gift when you're 5 and your sisters are 15 and 16, right? 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds do not want a 5-year-old boy around, which I get it, right? But they were excited to have me around, and I got to be with the youth group. The youth group, this was the 90s, they would do karate. And I would like watch the teenagers do karate. And I was like, this is the coolest church ever. This is the best. Like, church was my safe place. The problem with church hurt is it is born of the love that we felt. That church loved me so well. And so when the church failed me, it hurt so much more. When my faith fell away, it broke not just my spiritual heart, but my real heart, my relational heart. All the things that fell away, it hurt so deeply because they had loved me so well, and they had failed in my eyes. Do you understand why I told you that I would let you down? Church hurt was so deep. And friends, I look around this room and I've shared so many stories with all of you that I know that a lot of you are carrying the same sort of hurt. It's a different story. You have a different life than I do. And it might have felt differently to you, but we understand here at Shepherd's that there's no hurt like church hurt. But friends, there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. So this is how I lost my faith. Before I was born, my dad had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a cancer, and it was in his lymph nodes. And they used radiation to get rid of the cancer. And they got the cancer, but the radiation wasn't very accurate. And so it ended up deteriorating his heart. And over the course of my life, my father sort of slowly passed away. He had his first heart attack when I was 10, and he never really got all the way better. And so when I was 20 and he was 55, he died. When I was 20, 55, I was like, well, he was pretty old. And now that I'm 37, I'm like, 55 is so young. This reality that 55 keeps getting closer. And it was such a shattering. You know, my dad was my dad, and so he did the dad things. He corrected me, he encouraged me, he taught me. But he was also my dog. Like, he was my homie. Like, he was such a cool guy. Like, he was so funny. Like, he was one of the best storytellers I've ever met. He never met a stranger, even when I really wished that he would. He would talk to strangers like they were old friends, and then he would complain about how nosy people are. And I was like, literally, Emery, you're the one that started that conversation. I heard you. Pretended to act all northern and tough. He loved so deeply. He worked the night shift, but he still took me to football practice. He'd boil a hot dog for me before we went to church. I wish that he did differently, but when he was in a rush, he'd microwave it. So if I don't see my 90s, that's why. But he loved so well. And so when he died, it left this gaping hole in my life. I was so heartbroken because not only was my dad gone, but my best friend was gone. It broke my heart. And I was taught that everything was a part of God's plan. And I lost my faith because what sort of plan is this? For my dad to be gone way too young, he had so much more life, he had so many more things to complain about. You know, he didn't even have a chance to complain about social media yet, you know? I mean, he didn't have a chance to complain about COVID and the Pats letting him down again, Tom Brady going to the Bucks. Like, he didn't have it. He had so many things to complain about, and all those things were taken from him. It was, what a tragedy, what a breaking, what a shattering. What plan was this? But friends, can I tell you that there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God? But I walked away. My dad was gone. The faith of my childhood was not standing up to the pain that I felt. Everything happens for a reason. What's the reason for this? This seems upside down. And so I walked away. But I definitely kept going to church. I don't know why, I just kept going. It was Sunday morning, so I was there. I was going to a church, and I was going through the motions, and I was going to worship, and it felt empty. It felt hollow. The sermons didn't matter to me. The songs, I didn't want to sing. I had complaints every Sunday afternoon about the way that the branding was at the church, the sermon that was preached, the passage that was used. It was empty. I was broken. I would pray, and it felt like I was talking to myself. I would read scripture, and it was like I was reading an instruction manual from IKEA. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't speaking to me. I walked away. I was a practical agnostic who would have told you that he was a Christian but not shown it with an inch of his life. I lost my faith. I walked away. But then I graduated college and I needed a job. I don't know why, but I looked on a youth ministry's job board and a church needed an assistant part-time youth director. And for some reason, I was like, that sounds like me. You know, a guy who hates church, doesn't really believe in God right now. But have you ever hung out with a youth pastor? Like, some of them don't work. It's pretty great. As a recovering youth pastor, I'm allowed to say that. Not like children's directors. Children's directors work. Amen, Allie. Youth directors are like, I don't know, dodgeball. Anyways, I digress. So I applied for this job. I got this job somehow. I was raised in the church. I knew how to go through the motions. I was very good at miming the actions of a Christian. And then I was in charge of teaching confirmation. Confirmation, for those of you who are not United Methodist, is basically like a new member class, a light theology class, a light Christian history class for sixth and seventh graders. And I could show up, I can read a book. Yeah, I can read through the Sunday school information. I can explain it. So I had this room of like 60 sixth graders, and I'm explaining the faith. And I'm teaching about something called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. Calm down, everyone. I know it's very hot, very exciting sort of stuff. Both John Wesley and math. What else do you need? But I'm teaching this and explaining that the way that the United Methodist Church understands the world is not in some sort of rote, follow the Bible to the letter, demand that the Bible answers all your questions, answers modern problems with Bronze Age wisdom, but rather read scripture along with your reason, the tradition that you find yourself in, and your own lived experience. As I was teaching this sort of dry confirmation curriculum, talking about how curiosity is good, how questioning is holy, how not having it all figured out, and how God is not controlling every aspect of your life, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt my heart open. I realized that there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God, and my life was changed. I was able to find my faith again. I wonder about your story. I've been lucky enough to have a cup of coffee with some of you or lunch, and or maybe we've just texted or emailed or whatever, and we've been able to connect, and I've been able to hear your story, the story of your church hurt, the story of your reclaiming your faith, or even better, and this is sometimes my favorite story to hear, those that say, I don't really believe in God, and yet I see you every Sunday. I see the faith required to do that because I lived it myself. Hearing your story, I wonder what sort of story you have. Regardless of where you are, I would suspect that you've either experienced loss or you're on your way to experience loss. That's the way the human life is. Grief and a loss of faith are often connected. For me, it was the inciting incident. My world was shattered, so my faith fell apart. And the reason why is because my faith was built on such a shaky foundation that any shaking would tear it down. Today, I hope our passage can help us shore up our faith when that grief comes. Because, friends, there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. So if you had your paper Bibles, we can go back to Romans chapter 8. And I want to point out just a couple of parts of this passage. Here it says, we are treated like sheep for slaughter. Our lives can feel out of control. If you find yourself doom scrolling or just watching the news, or if you are alive, you can feel at times as if your life is out of control. Any of you are able to tell your story, share your testimony, there's going to be a moment where you realize that you are no longer driving the bus, but you're on the bus. One of the many things that I'm afraid of are airplanes. I hate flying on airplanes because I'm just in the air, in a tube. Someone I don't know is doing this, and that determines if we're alive or not, you know, and I don't like that. But that's what our lives are often like. You find yourself and you're in 38A, and all of a sudden, here we are, along for the ride. And that can so often feel like we're out of control, sort of like sheep. You know, sheep heading towards the slaughter. They're not saying, I would like a little bit more field time, please. No one's asking the opinion of a sheep. When we feel out of control, a faith based on certainty can feel false. When we feel out of control, a faith based on certainty can feel false. That's what happened to me. When my dad died, it felt like my life was out of control and my faith based on certainty was false. Certainty is this opposition to faith. When you know something because you've read it in a book, or you know something because it's what you've been taught, but you don't know something because you have lived it, that foundation is shaky. And so when we feel out of control, a faith based on certainty feels false. When we think God is controlling, we feel like God is the one leading us there. When we see this passage that says we are like sheep being led to a slaughter, if you've got a faith based on certainty or predestination or the expectation that God is controlling of all things, you think that God is the shepherd pushing you in to the slaughterhouse. You feel as if he is at the back of the sheep, putting you into the worst moments of your life. I want to offer something new to you today. When God is near us, our lives have a firm foundation. Instead of God being the shepherd directing the sheep towards the dinner plate, God is in with the sheep. God is in there with us, encouraging us on as we feel like we're in the worst times of our life. God is near to us. There is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. What do I mean by that? That the love of Christ is near to us regardless of how we feel. If we believe God's word, we see that God's love will stay close. So during this time, I would share with people that I felt isolated. I felt like my faith was empty or false, or I felt that God was silent. And sometimes pastors or friends meaning well would say that if you feel far away from God, God was not the one that moved, you were. Which I get what they were trying to do. But that made me feel, as the French say, bad. It didn't feel good. Be like, okay, I moved. How do I move back? This isn't helpful. And so instead, what I want to say is that when God feels far away, even when it feels faint, the love of God is as close as another believer. During this time, when I felt like my faith was empty, when I'd walked away from my faith, I was not in any sort of community where people could see me for my whole self, where I could be honest with my pain. I had close loved ones that were there, but I didn't have a Christian community. I didn't have other men, other guys that I was also able to be my whole self with. I had a bravado. I had to put on a certain air. I had to show who I was. That changed when I went to the United Methodist Church and I met these wonderful pastors who were so much older than me, who were like younger than I am now, who would listen to a very smart 24-year-old wax poetic about life and the meaning of it. And with patience, they would wait until I tired myself out, right? I would make all these declarations and pronouncements, and they would sit with such patience and listen to me. And then at opportune moments, they would whisper something small and powerful, and it would change me. If you feel like your faith is far, I'm not going to tell you that you're the one that moved. Instead, what I'm going to say is the love of God is only as far as another believer. If you are willing to get out of rows and into circles, if you're willing to bear who you are and share your pain with someone else, you can be saved and drawn out of this pain, because there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. You see, the only way I found my faith was being in community. When I went to the United Methodist Church, I found, you know, I was raised fundamentalist, so all the pastors kind of look like me, right? But I went to the United Methodist Church and I met people who didn't look like me. I met women who were incredible pastors, obviously. I met people of color who were incredible pastors serving in communities where not everyone looked the same. I met people that loved differently than I did and loved better than I do and did. And I found that in this community that all the things that I held for certain may be turned on their ear, and I felt myself changing. I found my community. The passage says that nothing will separate us from God's love. A sheep on its own is dinner with a sweater on. A sheep on its own is waiting for the wolf. A sheep in a flock is safe. A sheep in community is protected. A sheep in community has enough food to eat, water to drink, and other sheep to lean on. We are not sheep to the slaughter because we are sheep together. The Apostles' Creed, one of the collections of the beliefs that we ascribe to as United Methodist, says that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, not the Pope one, but rather the word Catholic meaning united. We believe in the Holy United Church, which means that when we are all together, we are made holy, which means that when we are on our own, we are not yet holy. I say it all the time, it's better when you're here. It's because I can't be like Jesus unless you are here. I can't do this faith thing on my own. I tried that already. And the love of God felt further and farther away. And when I'm here in community, when we share a circle, when we sit together, when we bear each other's burdens, I am made holy and you are made holy. When we are together, we protect each other. When we are on our own, we are crushed. There is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. I don't know your story. I don't know if you've experienced church hurt. I don't know if a pastor or a community let you down. I'm sorry that that happened. One of my great joys as a pastor is I'm able to hear some of the most heartbreaking stories of church hurt. I can look someone square in the eyes and say, you deserved better. Friends, you deserved better. But now, as we are here together, may we be reminded that there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. And may we know that we are making a new sort of church community. We'll let you down, but we'll build you back up. That when we try and do faith on our own, we will feel God getting further and further away. And when we do life together, the kingdom will come and dwell among us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not your news feed, not your job, not your relationships, not the economy, not wars, not rumors of wars. Not climate change, not political division, elections, zip codes, nothing above, nothing below, demons, angels, principalities. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. There is no fear, there is no grief greater than the love of God. All right, so I've got two things for you I want you to work on this week. If you came last week, you got a little brown field notes notebook, if you've still got it, plus, good job, I lost mine. No one's surprised. But if you still have yours, mazel. I want you to write down these two action points, and I've got some things that I want you to do to put this sermon into action. The first is I want you to write about your grief or your doubt. If you've never written out your grief or your doubt, I want you to take a pen and I want you to write it with your hand. The grief or the doubt that you've been carrying, if you don't have one, great. Write a how-to and please send it to me. If you don't have grief or doubt, write something about the times that you felt alone or isolated. I want you to write it down. And then the second and in some ways most important action point, I want you to find someone here you can share it with. And it's not someone that you're married to or related to, but someone here in this community that you can share your grief or your doubt with. When I was finding my faith again, I had to go and I had to meet with someone and I had to say, I don't know if I believe in God anymore. And I had to hear them say, you are not alone. I see you. I love you, and you are not alone. If we're gonna be a church for the neighborhood, if we're gonna love others, if we're gonna create a place where more people can come, where we can be the backstop for faith, the last stop before brunch, grabbing people before they fall off the edge, if we're gonna be able to do that, we gotta be able to grapple with our fear and our grief and our doubt. And I'm convinced that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Friends, there is no grief or fear greater than the love of God. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.